So, on the 31st of October, just a few days from now, it will be exactly 500 years since Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the cathedral doors. And a lot of it has been sparked by this event. And it's been 5 centuries, a long time ago. One of the songs we sang, "A Mighty Fortress." Can you believe it? It's 500 years old, that song. It's still a wonderful song. But it was quite a time of change. Really, in the 15th century, when we had the first information technology revolution with the invention of the printing press. And that sparked of so many things. And you think of names like Columbus, Copernicus, and Luther. Columbus, well, he sailed around, the world became bigger, didn't it? Copernicus, with his writings that spread around, well, the universe became bigger, the sun became bigger, and then Luther, he turned the idea of human nature and human identity upside down in the midst of all these things. And what we want to think about today is really what was the essence of what Luther discovered, or perhaps why, the question, what's in the background. To know ourselves, it's very important, isn't it? Know thyself, know yourself. The old Greek philosopher Socrates, he made this statement, know yourself. And apparently in Athens, he was speaking against all the gods of Athens, Zeus and all the other gods. And some say he believed only in one god, but he didn't believe in all those gods. And they arrested him because he misled the youth of Athens, and he ended up being killed for his beliefs. Now, his disciple, Plato, another massive Greek philosopher. How much do you know about Greeks, by the way?
Same.
Have you seen the film My Big Fat Greek Wedding? If you have, then you know plenty, because remember the father of the bride who told his Protestant in-laws to be, says, you lived in caves while we had philosophers. Yes, so that's how it was. That's all you need to know. So Plato is the disciple of Socrates, and then Aristotle, the big one. Aristotle, who was riding with Alexander the Great, and he taught Alexander the Great everything he knew about the world, the universe, and human nature. And if you just stop at Aristotle, because he was the big chap who remained with us since then. And he described human nature in categories. And it's not all exactly the same anymore, but the science and psychology, they still work with his ideas. They reject some because they're out of date, but some they still work with. And the last of the category that Aristotle was to describe was the goal or end of human nature. And for him, the end of human nature, or goal of human nature, is self-actualization or self-realization. And just to put it in modern terms, I think Americans have this in their Declaration of Independence. They have this statement, the pursuit of happiness. And that's very similar in principle. You try to find that something there to make you happy. You build everything there. You build yourself, your education, your material possessions, everything to build to the point where you have achieved that state and you realized your dream, your happiness. And it became actually real. Now when you jump to the end of the Middle Ages, that's Greek F, stands for philosophy. And at this time, lots of Aristotle's writings came about through Venice, and all these people were sailing around all over the place, and his writings were discovered. So the church took on Aristotle, they adopted him. as a favorite child. And basically you had philosophy and church become so intimately related that you couldn't really distinguish anymore what's the scriptures, what's the philosophy, who are the Christians, who are the Greeks, who are the philosophers. It was all mixed up together. And in this kind of environment, Luther was raised and lived. And you know, this whole idea of Aristotle, that you have to build yourself up, all the good things, all the virtues, you build them up one by one, you work very hard, education, hard work, and then you become a better, braver, wiser person, and that's what, how you attain your potential and you become who you really, truly need to be. And Luther was trying very, very hard. Very, 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 very hard. Not many people have tried as hard as he has. In the scriptures, you think of Apostle Paul. He was similar. As far as the righteousness of the law comes, I was without, you know, without fault. He was trying really, really hard to keep the law. And in his futile attempts to attain goodness, to attain this thing that you're supposed to reach, this goal, in monastery, he was so hard on himself. Luther started hating the idea of goodness and God's goodness and all these things because it was just unattainable. The more he tried to be good, the more he got entangled in himself. Now there are so many laws in if you, let me just read this first. This is a statement, some of you may have seen it recently. Martin Luther's commentary in Romans, page 69. So the book of Romans tells us all, we are all sold under sin, and we all fall short of God's glory. And he doesn't speak about the Jews, Gentiles, Christians, believers, non-believers, he says the entire humankind. And he says the expression, all are under sin, must be taken in the spiritual sense. That is to say, not as men appear in their own eyes or in those of others, but as they stand before God. They're all under sin. Those who are manifest transgressors in the eyes of men, so those who just, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, obvious, everybody knows how they live. As well as those who appear righteous in their own sight and before others. Those who perform outwardly good works, do them from fear of punishment or love of gain and glory, or otherwise from pleasure in a certain object, but not from a willing and ready mind. In this way, man exercises himself continually in good works, outwardly, but inwardly, he is totally immersed in sinful desires and evil lusts, which are opposed to good works. So what Martin Luther is saying, and those who break the law, everybody knows that, everybody can see, you know, if somebody gets drunk and do stupid things, everybody knows, but everybody else, people who look nice, well-dressed, well-behaved, they keep the law. Since these people are outwardly keeping the law, but because of all the evil desires in their hearts, they're actually breaking the law when they keep the law. So we're all the same, he says, we're all the same. There are so many laws in this country now, so many regulations that keep popping up every day that we're asked to obey. It is getting almost as bad as the first century Jewish rules and regulations people had to follow. And it's all about ticking boxes, isn't it? But no one even knows why. People are afraid that they will suffer the penalty of the laws, perhaps financial penalty. That's quite a motivator, isn't it? And the government is also afraid that the people will walk them out because they haven't done all these things that need to be done and they haven't ticked all the boxes. So we keep ticking boxes, sort of obeying the regulations, but nobody loves each other. Society is completely rotten. Nobody knows why, but this is all done. For whose benefit it is all done? Luther says, the people who obey the law are actually breaking the law because they do it only externally. While the heart is polluted with all kinds of filthy desires. And when you read the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul himself comes in chapter 7, And he says, I thought I was righteous, but then the law came, the commandment came, and it's killed me. And he doesn't speak of the 9 commandments, because he says, I kept it. I didn't swear, I didn't lie, I didn't steal, I was not an adulterer, not like that. But he says, the commandment came, and he says, you shall not desire. So he's talking about, what he's talking about in Romans 7 is his inward feelings, desires, motivations, all these complex psychological experiences we have. And he says, that's, I cannot understand what's going on in my heart. The heart is polluted. And if the heart is polluted, the body is polluted, the whole world is polluted. The whole world, just to translate what Martin Luther is trying to say in modern terms, the whole world is driven by self-interest. If you see the globe, just an illustration, it's all split up and divided, isn't it? Each country protects its own self-interest. Is that so? One person tries to move from one country to the other country? You know that? Each country protects its own self-interest. Every region in each country protects their own self-interest. Each human organization against the other protects its self-interest. Each religion protects its self-interest. You don't see the religions fighting for the other religions. They fight for their own self-interest. Each denomination, each congregation protects their own self-interest. In each congregation, each family protects their own self-interest. You should not really stop there, but come to each individual. Everything is polluted with self-interest. Even the desire to be with God and to go to heaven is polluted by self-interest. We seek God because we want something from Him. We expect these things, don't we? Who would follow God if we wouldn't get anything from Him? But when you read the book of Job, it's all about that situation. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We all hopelessly failed to follow God's command to love neighbors ourselves. Luther, in his attempts to follow this rule, very, very heavy attempts, he realized that our nature is locked in sin. It's driven by self-interest. Some are aware of this, but most people are not aware of this. But even those who are aware of this, it doesn't necessarily help them. Because the conscious part of ourselves, the conscious part, we can do something about. We can stop the desire for self-interest if we see it arise within us. But though we can do it, there is no guarantee that we actually will do that. There is no guarantee that we will always want to do that. Even so, the unconscious level of the human mind, heart, and psyche, the part that is hidden deep below the surface, the part we cannot do anything about, continues to function and tick, driven by self-interest, and we cannot do anything about that. And let me put a slide up. I think this is really the key of Luther's discovery, and the key of the change that he made in the direction, how the human nature was viewed by the world, his church, and how he took a different route from it all. So basically, with all the philosophy that came from Aristotle and all those traditions, the church is represented by the red arrow. They basically say the harder you work, you apply yourself, the better you get. So your evil nature, yes, we are evil, but gradually, through repetition of good acts and creation of good habits, you can build yourself up, make yourself better. Gradually, you are destroying your evil nature, little by little, and you're becoming more and more good. not talking about acts, talking about our nature, our inward parts. So much so that at the end, what happens at the end, when you reach the end of the arrow, you're declared a saint. Yes? That's how it works. You're so high and holy that you're declared a saint. Well, Martin Luther was trying to do this, it didn't work for him. And he was blessed by the opportunity to come to the scriptures, all those things that are printed out recently and available to people. He could read the New Testament for himself. And he discovered this is not so. He read the book of Romans, he read Paul, and he realized in his own experience, yes, through the Holy Spirit that we receive, the evil nature is subdued, can be controlled, but it is not destroyed, it is not eradicated. We essentially remain evil as we are in our nature. Human nature remains evil despite all the good actions that we do, despite the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not eradicate the human nature. It introduces a new element so that there is a war within us. Our nature is evil, God is good. And when these two things clash together, there is a conflict and there is war. And for Martin Luther, he didn't see this. You wage the war, and the more you fight, you get through that, and you have less and less problems to deal with, get through the sins one by one, and in the end, you're pure. No. This day, this button is same every single day. Every single day, you have to contend with your evil nature, as the Holy Spirit prompts us to seek God and to do what is right. So some people struggle, some people not struggle. And I was going to say something else, but leave that for later. So this picture really represents the difference between how Martin Luther views human nature. It doesn't change at all, no matter the amount of the good works you do and perform in this life. No matter how much you pray, whatever you do, we remain essentially evil and have to contend with this until the last day of our lives on earth. Whereas the church would see things a little bit different. So for the church, at the end of your journey, if you work hard enough, receive all the sacraments from the church and infuse some kind of mysterious grace into you and make you a better person, some mysterious way, you become a saint. For Luther, it says we are saint and sinner at the same time. Because both of the presence of the evil nature and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there is no mystical, supernatural grace that is infused to church sacraments, things that are given unto us. But this is mainly a relational experience. As we relate to God through the Holy Spirit, this is the battle that we go through each day. So, the question is, if our nature cannot be good, How do we attain goodness? If our human nature is essentially evil, as Paul says, there is nothing good in me, inside. He's talking about things that he does. There's nothing good in me. If the human nature cannot be good, how do we attain goodness? Well, if there is nothing good in us, Paul says in Romans, Luther realized we have to seek goodness that is outside of us because there is nothing good in us. The only way to find goodness is if we seek for it outside of ourselves. And this is what Luther called the alien righteousness. It's got nothing to do with Area 51. Alien in the sense of it's not inside of us, it's outside of us, and we are not familiar with it. It's alien to us. We don't know what it is. It's just something that's alien to us. Goodness that is outside of us. So in order to attain this goodness that is outside of us, that is alien to us, in more than one way, for Luther, he saw a clear way forward. We need to trust in God. We need to trust His word. We need to trust His promise. So for Luther, the essence of sin is unbelief, lack of faith or trust. He says that by disbelieving God and God's promise, we make God to be unreliable and a liar. You can just go back to the Garden of Eden and remember what happened there. As sinners, Luther says, our nature is curved in on itself. Curved in on itself. You know. Bent in itself. The only way to uncurve ourselves is through faith or active trust in God, our choice to trust in God. That is how we uncurve out of sin. Faith or trust straightens us out towards God, and it deals with the essential problem of sin that for Luther was unbelief. But once you sort that out, still, even so, our nature still remains essentially evil. Faith as the new spiritual element in our nature, it does not eradicate or destroy our evil nature. Rather, it wages war against it. So all these things that you experience every day, things that go through your mind, feelings you experience, all these conflicts that you have within you. If you have this conflict, it's a good sign that you're thinking about it and you're doing something about it. From the first day it enters our lives, faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it wages the war against our evil nature until the day we die. I don't know what's going through your mind. Maybe you believe something different. Maybe you have different experience personally. That's all rhetorical questions. Then another question. So, if there is nothing good in us, what's the point of doing anything? If you know that everything we will do is polluted by sin, like an unclean garment, well, what's the point of doing anything? Just don't do anything. If we are not going to earn or deserve any favor with God by doing good works, what's the point of doing anything at all? Well, see, that's the problem. That is our nature. The principle of earning or deserving something has no place in the kingdom of God. It does not work like that at all. This world works like that. All the schools, all the companies, it's all based on the principle of earning and deserving. But in God's kingdom, the principle of earning or deserving has no place. And here, Luther highlights the wonderful principle of gift. That was one of the key principles that drove Martin Luther in his Christian experience. The principle of gift. The gift that was there since the time of creation. Everything is a gift from God. So for him, Adam and Eve were not placed in the Garden of Eden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as a test to see whether they are children of God or not. No, Martin Luther says they are children of God already by the virtue of creation or God giving them birth. This was a gift of God. They did not have to wait until they were tested to become the children of God. They were not accepted by God based on their performance. They were created sinless. Sinlessness was not their achievement, it was the gift of God. So something else was the condition for eternal life. Not sinless, something else. And Martin Luther highlights again, it was the faith in God, faith in His word, faith in His promise. Whether it is the positive promise or negative promise, it doesn't matter. Faith in God, His word, and His promise. And it is the same for us today. The condition for eternal life is the same, it doesn't change. It's not sinlessness, but it is trust in God, trust in His word, trust in His promise. Creation was a gift from God. And Luther says that God did not just stop creating after the 7 days and He left us and He's gone somewhere far away into the universe. For Luther, each new day is a new creation. And God actively creates each day, and each day we receive the gift of life anew. God did not leave us and become a distant God after creation. No, he is very near us, very close to us, and he is intimately involved in our lives each day. So for Luther, he paints this wonderful picture. Our relationship with God is based on the idea of exchange of gifts. The exchange of gifts, rather than the idea of earning or deserving. God gives us a gift of life each day, and in response, we give him back the gift of gratitude and thankfulness every day. Everything we do for others, our so-called good works, earn no merit of any kind. Our good works are also gifts intended for others. So we should not expect anything in return for anything we do. It's gifts we are giving away. We are not engaged in business transactions that are based on mutual self-interest. We give charity. We give kind words to others. We give encouragement. We give the gospel message. So whatever it is, charity or evangelism, whatever we give to others, we should not expect anything in return. Because it's not the work we are doing, it's the gifts we are giving away, according to the example of our God, who is the great giver of gifts. The relationship between a sinner and God is established and maintained through the exchange of gifts. That's how it is understood. This whole thing. So, the pursuit of happiness. Yeah. So this is how Martin Luther claimed, stated, progress is nothing other than constantly beginning. For him, you don't grow to become a saint every day. It's a new start. It's a new start. There is no movement in our nature from being able to becoming more and more good. There is no development in terms of self. Realization, really. This is the wrong goal. Self is the wrong goal, the wrong target. In Hebrew, Bible, the word for sin means missed target. So we're trying to do all these things and we miss the target. The target is not self, it's not inside us, it's outside us. So a bit of a cartoon there to show you there's something wrong in the way we understand the human nature and how things work, yeah? We don't really understand it. So, the pursuit of happiness, self-realization, self-actualization, sort of a personal evolution, that's the whole, you know, you evolve. It's the model of human nature that is based on the categories of Greek philosophy, Aristotle, which is still used in psychology today, partially, but not on the Hebrew scriptures. It is all based on the principle of merit and achievement. On the other hand, the scripture gives us a very different idea of human nature and human identity. The question of human nature in the scriptures is not about sinless performance or sinful failure. Neither are conditions for eternal life. Neither are conditions for the ultimate fulfillment or realization or the goal of the human nature. The goal of the human nature is not self, but it is to relate to God in the right way. And the right way to do it is to trust in God. To trust His word. To trust His promises. That was so from the very beginning. Whether in their temporal, partial fulfillment, or in their complete, ultimate fulfillment in eternal life. The goal of the human nature is not self fulfillment, realization. The goal is not within self, but outside of self. So, to answer the question for Martin Luther, the question, who am I as a human being? What is my nature? To answer this question for Luther is to go back to the creation. To recognize God as the great giver of the gift of life. Though we are not sinless like Adam and Eve, but evil, we do not have to wait to become sinless to be called the children of God. We can be that right now by accepting God as our Creator and our Father by trusting his word and his promise. At the end of the age, at the second coming of Christ, we will be changed sinless in an instant. This again will be the gift of God, like it was at the beginning of the creation with Adam and Eve. But this will change our performance, but it will not change our identity that we already have right now. We are the children of God, if you trust in God. We have reached the goal of the human nature already, if you relate to God the right way. Although our nature is essentially evil, broken and ill, and in suffering and in pain and in tears, by trusting God, we can attain and obtain His goodness as a gift right now and expect life eternal in anticipation of His coming. That is all for today. Thank you. God bless.
Amen.